Genesis 4 and 5 will continue through the book of Genesis. And it's not a gallop. It's more like a mosey, a meandering through the book of Genesis. Last time we were together, Adam and Eve got evicted from the garden. Now, and instead of living in paradise as the original plan called for, they were living in a very different world, a very different environment. The animals that they enjoyed being around, many of them became their enemies now. Remember, before there was no death, there was no fear, there was nothing like that. And now Adam found himself no longer being able to play ring toss with the rhinos. There was suffering and even death in the new world. All of this because of their disobedience. Because of their disobedience, there would be a fallout. There would be repercussions. Sin has repercussions. Sin has fallout, doesn't it? Sin has consequences, some of them lasting consequences. Which brings us up to speed to chapters 4 and 5. So if you would turn to chapter 4 in the book of Genesis, it says, now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. The word new obviously speaks of the sexual relationship between a husband and wife. And the consequence is that she would conceive 9 months later. The very first baby born in the world, born on earth, would be Cain. Adam and Eve were created, correct, as we saw. So Cain would be the very first baby. It would be interesting because Adam and Eve had no preconceived ideas, no pun intended on that, that how to raise a baby. They'd never seen a baby. They didn't know how to go about it. I mean, we think about new parents, and you can remember those of you that had babies when you had your first one, how careful you were. You know, you wouldn't dare do, you know, certain things because they might catch a cold. You couldn't go out, and so on and so forth. And by third or fourth, forget about it. You know, anything went, right? Anything goes. But Adam and Eve, they didn't have that. And it's interesting that they have a baby now when they were very young. Some commentators say that Adam and Eve were like 1 year old when they had a baby. Sounds kind of weird, doesn't it? Some say that they could have been up to 10 years of age. But since they were created as adults, anyway, I thought that was just something to play with on that. But Adam and Eve, they have the baby. And of course, Dr. Adam helps deliver the baby. And the name of Cain, which means acquire, which can also be translated, here he is. They were the very first people to raise Cain. Sorry, I went for the cheap laugh. Eve thought Cain would be the one who would be the deliverer. That's why they named him that way. She felt that this was the fulfillment of God's promise, that God would use Cain to bring salvation. This was the one who would fix everything and get us back to the garden, to the way it was. That was her thinking. She wanted to get back. Don't blame her, right? Eve based that based on Genesis 3:15. This was the one who would crush the serpent's head. And it is likely that Adam and Eve had other children, daughters too, and we're going to see that later on. They're not mentioned here, however. Genesis 4 is not concerned with any other siblings because the story doesn't concern any other siblings, but only Cain and Abel. Notice the attitude that Eve has towards having this child. She credits the Lord for giving her this son. And obviously, all children are a gift from God, right? That's what the Bible says. This indicates that Eve was no longer estranged from the Lord. When the Lord slaughtered the animal and used his skin to cover Adam's and Eve's nakedness, remember that last chapter? And they were being restored to fellowship with the Lord. Though they were still sinners and would suffer the consequence of their sin, nonetheless, they were now restored to fellowship with the Lord. Then she bore again, according to verse 2. This time, his brother Abel. And then we're given information about them. Now, Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Two brothers, as different as they can be. I have two older sons, and they are as different as they can be. One's chocolate, one's vanilla. One is more headstrong than the other. One has a little a temper than the other, from the mom's side, of course. But they're as different as they can be. Two brothers. Here we have one who was a farmer, and that's Cain. The other was a shepherd. And he says that, and in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. But he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry and his countenance fell. In the Hebrew, the end of times is translated in the process of time. It means that. Here, commentators tell us that Abel was approximately 130 years old when he brought this offering. Long life, right? The brothers were trying to please God. They knew exactly what they had to bring in their offering, what their offering consisted of. The context of this chapter suggests to us that God had previously explained to Adam and his family how to enter his presence with the proper sacrifices. In other words, what were the sacrifices that God desired? They knew. The law of Moses had not yet been given, so the full list of sacrifices and offerings were not in practice yet. However, in chapter 3, as we saw last week, God himself made an animal sacrifice for Adam and Eve to cover them. You remember that after Adam and Eve blew it, they decided to cover themselves with fig leaves, right? Now, experts tell us that fig leaves grew like 3 feet in diameter, and that would cover a lot of body parts for most of us. It would probably cover my whole body since I'm only 3 feet tall. God then decides to kill an innocent animal to make coverings for them. This was an example to them as to what was required, the life of an innocent animal. Once again, what was required was the life of an innocent animal. And at first, it seems that Cain's offering was a legitimate act of worship. He brings fruit to God. But the blood must come first. The problem is that Cain didn't get to make up the rules as to what was an acceptable sacrifice and what wasn't. Cain knew what God wanted. Cain decided he knew better, and so he brought what he wanted instead. Now, Cain is no atheist, right? He wants a relationship with God. And based on the conversation that they're going to have in a few minutes, you can see that he had conversations previously with the Lord. He wanted to come to God, however, on his own terms. And that's called the deliberate rebellion. You don't come to God on your own terms. It's not enough to worship God in our own way. We must worship God in his own way, the way he prescribes, the way he deserves. Many people today don't want to come to God through the sacrificial lamb of God, which is Jesus Christ. They think they could make it to heaven on their own. They're good people. They pay their taxes. They never killed anyone. They want to approach God based on those terms. And that doesn't work. We all know that. The Bible tells us that even our very best, we're nothing but filthy rags. John 14:6 tells us that the only way to God is through Jesus Christ. There's no other way. And the people that have a hard time with that, they don't have a hard time with us. If they have a hard time with that, they got to go to God. We didn't say it. Jesus said it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There's no other way. If there was another way, that means that is the death on the cross is limited, perhaps even not warranted. But there's no other way. There's no other way. Hebrews tells us, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he, being dead, still speaks. So the Hebrew contains the thought that Abel brought the firstlings and the fattest too. Abel's sacrifice was based on faith. Abel was very conscientious in his selection. He didn't pick the skinniest, sorriest, ugliest sheep he could find. He picked the best, the unblemished, the finest lamb that he had. Certain people give God the leftovers. He requires and he insists on the best. But so many of us, we give him what is considered leftovers or the meager. And that's not honoring God, because God gives back more than what we gave him. And that's a true principle that many of us have learned, correct? Abel's gift was a generous gift. He gave God his best. He chose the first fruit for God. The fat of the lamb makes it clear that the sheep was sacrificed. And it's interesting, in the Old Testament, it says that the fat belongs to the Lord. Makes me happy. The way to the cross is established here, by the way. It's interesting that here we see the first sacrificial lamb, and it's one lamb for one man. At the Passover, the Jews celebrate a sacrificial lamb, but it's one per household. On the Day of Atonement, there's going to be one sacrifice for the nation of Israel, one sacrificial lamb. And finally, for us, there's Jesus Christ on the cross who takes away the sin of the world. So you see that one lamb, one man, one lamb for one household, one lamb for one nation, and then one lamb for the world. It's pretty cool the way it started, right? Very interesting. Now, God respected Abel's offering. The word respected can be translated to accept with pleasure. It can also be translated to become friends. It was as much as the offering, as the attitude and motive behind the offering. In the New Testament, the principle is that God loves a cheerful giver, doesn't he? Because it's an attitude of the heart. It's not a dollar or 10 or 100 or 1,000. It's an attitude of the heart. How do you give? Do you give grudgingly? Or do you give happily as an act of worship? The bottom line is that God told Abel what he wanted, how he was going to be approached, and what would please him, and Abel obeyed. And Cain did not. As a result, God accepted Abel's sacrifice. Meanwhile, Cain was upset. He was mad. His face showed his great disappointment. He's pouting. Anyone ever get mad at God when you get your way? When I get my way, tell you what, I don't get mad. I'm kind of happy. But we find that there's a principle that whenever you're mad at God, you're wrong. I've never been mad when I got my way. On the other hand, I've been very disappointed. I've been known to pout if I don't get my way. After all, I'm a man. Sorry, guys, just threw you under the bus. Likewise with Cain. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not well, sin lies at the door and is desirous for you, but you should rule over it. God confronts Cain in his anger. And in verse 7, we have the very first counseling session in the world. God tells Cain, if you do the right thing, you're going to be accepted. Quick and to the point. God just gets that right. He doesn't beat around. And the word lies is used of an animal crouching like a tiger, ready to pounce on you. God is telling Cain that this sin is going to eat him up. This sin has the potential to destroy him. And indeed, sin destroys if left unchecked, and if you don't confess it, and if you don't repent. God warns him to be ruthless with his sin, and that's the only way to attack it sometimes. Now, Cain with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. This is called fratricide, the killing of your brother. Envy, anger, and hatred turn into murder. Unchecked anger has the ability to destroy you. You can control anger, or if not, anger is going to control you. This is exactly what happened to Cain. According to one dictionary, anger is a strong feeling of annoyance, displeasure, or hostility. The American Psychological Association describes anger as this. Anger is an emotion characterized by antagonism towards someone or something you feel has deliberately done you wrong. Well, Abel had done nothing to his brother. So why did Cain kill Abel? According to 1 John chapter 3, verse 12, it says this, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brothers were righteous. Jealousy, the big J word. You see, Abel had exposed him because he was living a righteous life. And the righteous life testifies of the wickedness of those around them. The life of the righteous tells the unrighteous that it is possible to live a life of obedience. This takes away the excuse of disobedience. In other words, the unrighteous gets convicted and people don't like it because light is being shown in the darkness. The Bible tells us that people love darkness rather than light in the Gospel of John. There was a little church that met in an old Safeway building back in Albuquerque, where I'm from. The church was down here, and it was kind of like a downslope. And wouldn't you know it, I didn't like those people. So when I visited the bar across the street from that, I would roll down my beer bottles to see if they would get flats. I've been forgiven of that, by the way, okay? You know, I didn't like what they stood for. You know why? Because they were light and I was darkness. That was an old Calvary chapel that I did that to. What a sense of humor, right? Now I've picked up beer bottles from our parking lot. Not from our members, but from people that race on this road right there. Then the Lord said to Cain, Where is Abel, your brother? He says, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? He lied. He lied to God. Deliberately lied. And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth. Now, we saw earlier that God was brokenhearted when Adam and Eve fell into sin. And now he's brokenhearted again because Abel, the righteous, has been murdered by his brother, no less. Being a God who seeks out those who are lost, we see here that the Lord seeks out Cain in hopes of eventually restoring him to himself. It's interesting that last chapter, God was asking, Adam, where are you? And Adam says, I hid myself, right? And here, Cain covers himself up by lying. Where's your brother? I don't know. Well, yeah, you do know. You killed him. You see, God knows everything. He wanted Cain to fess up. He wanted to see if Cain would repent. You've still given him a chance. What a loving God. That God gives us second and third and fourth chances. He wants us to get right with him. He wants us to repent. He wants us to come clean. But oftentimes, our stubbornness, our pride doesn't let us. It won't let us. And how sad. How many prideful people are in hell today? Friends, there's a consequences as a result of Cain's sin. There's two parts to the curse. The first one is the land, which has been very good to Cain, will now not cooperate with Cain. He wasn't going to be a farmer anymore. The second curse is that he was going to be a fugitive, a wanderer. You see, sin puts us on a path that is cursed. Cain hasn't repented, but it has a consequence. Friends, if you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you might be on the path that is cursed and headed towards destruction. But you don't have to go that way, that route. I was on that route 30 years ago. No question, if I stayed on that road, I wouldn't be alive today. And you don't have to go on that route. You can accept Christ tonight and get on the road that is blessed. I remember being so messed up in L.A. the day after Easter, 30-some years ago. And on the way back, on the plane back to New Mexico, I just prayed to the Lord to save me. That same day, as I landed, my first stop was at a Bible bookstore. And I'd never been to a Bible bookstore. I grew up Catholic. I didn't need a Bible. That's what I thought. So I went and bought a Bible. I went and bought a little booklet. And then I bought a commentary. And I liked the name. Warren W. Worsby. It just sounded neat to me. Later on, I came to know that Warren W. Worsby was a great writer, great Christian. And so on the back of that little pamphlet, I read the Salvation Message that said, "Lord, forgive me of my sins. I repent of all that I've done. I want you, Jesus, to be the Lord and Savior of my life. I want you to write my name in the book of life. And I pray that in Jesus' name." That simple. My life changed overnight. I didn't have a desire to go to bars and hang out with my friends anymore. That was the last day that I ever drank a beer, over some 30 years ago. I have no desire for alcohol. God took that away. All because I got saved. All because I needed to be rescued from myself. Folks, if I didn't do that, there's no way that I was on the highway to hell. And you don't have to do that. And I learned that salvation is free. God doesn't charge. We don't charge either, right? Salvation is a free gift, God, the Bible tells us. And praise God for that. Can you imagine if God saved us and we had to pay based on how much we sinned? You thought a student loan was bad? I'd still be paying. And based on some of the people that I know here, some of you guys would be in the same boat as me. Verse 13, and Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear. Surely you have driven me out of this day from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth. And it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me." Know that Cain is so concerned about himself. It's I. What a whiner. And this is the pattern of behavior of the people who think too highly of themselves. Cain is scared that someone's going to find him and kill him. One of the results of sin is that we become afraid and make decisions based on fear. You see, fear moves us away from God rather than towards him. You would think it would have the other effect, right? But we keep running. And the Lord said to him, "Therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold." And the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him. For whatever reason, God puts a mark on him. Some commentators believe that God gave Cain something. No matter what it was, the purpose is that he was protected. Even though he killed his brother, God still cares for him. I'm blown away by that. I'm completely blown away that God would do that. But God is a God of love. The Bible says he is love. Then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch. And he built a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. To Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begot Mehujael, and Mehujael begot Methushael, and Methushael begot Lamech. The land of Nod is east of Eden. It's a sleepy little town in the Middle East, and it's a sleepy little town. We don't really know where the land of Nod is, even though on Sunday morning some people think it is here, especially first service. In verse 17, Cain becomes a city slicker, and he and Eve continue to have babies, right? So they have babies, and so Cain here rather has a baby, and so he starts having kids. And experts tell us that due to the climatic conditions found on Earth at that time, and the ages that people were living to, it would not be uncommon for a couple to have 60 to 70 kids. Try to feed that. I complain about my 5 boys. I could imagine 60 to 70 kids. That's a lot of kids, isn't it? Imagine the dining room table for that one. Yeah. Then Lamech took for himself 2 wives, so he becomes a polygamist. The name of one was Adah, and the name of the second one was Zillah. And Adah bore Jabal. He was the father of those who dwell in tents and have livestock. His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all those who play the harp and flute. And as for Zillah, she also bore Tubal Cain, an instructor of every craftsman in bronze and iron. And the sister of Tubal Cain was Naamah. Then Lamech said to his wife, Adah and Zillah, hear my voice. Wives of Lamech, listen to my speech. For I have killed a man for wounding me, even a young man for hurting me. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, then Lamech 77-fold. Lamech's an interesting character. He starts off by being a polygamist, right? Even though the law wasn't given yet, he ends up being a murderer and brags about it in a song that he writes. This is what we call the very first rapper in the Bible. But we have Jabal, Jubal, and Tubal, who brothers who specialize in livestock, music, and metals. And the interesting thing about the guy with medals, he was way ahead of his time because the nation of Israel, hundreds of years later, still couldn't deal with bronze and so on. So what's happening here is that these guys are technologically advanced. So they're very intelligent. But even though they're very intelligent, they have no concern for the things of God. It is a godless advancement through the line of Cain that we see. They have been strained from God. And isn't that what we find today with all the technology we have? It seems like the more technologically advanced, the more godless we become. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and named him Seth. For God has appointed another seed for me instead of Abel, whom Cain killed. And as for Seth, to him also a son was born, and he named him Enosh. Then men began to call on the name of the Lord. The Adam and Eve baby factory continues, and to them is given a godly child with Seth, which means appointed. Seth ends up growing up, and he and his wife have a child named Enosh. It is then that man began to have a thirst for the things of God through the line of Seth. And perhaps they were turning to God because there was violence. And as we're going to see next week in chapter 6, there was violence all around them. The world was becoming a very violent world, and it sounds like today, doesn't it? With all the shootings that we see almost on a weekly basis. Chapter 5, we're going to go over this really quick. This is the book of the genealogy of Adam. In the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female. He blessed them and called them mankind the day they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness after his image and named him Seth. After he begot Seth, the days of Adam were 800 years and he had sons and daughters. So all the days that Adam lived were 930 years and he died. What a sad thing that the man who was supposed to live forever died. And so, imagine what Adam had seen. He saw perfection. He went from perfection, the perfect ideal world, to one where disarray, violence, where as before there was no sin, there was no death, now there was sin and death and suffering. It's amazing what Adam lived through, what he saw. So Adam, for Adam, it was the best of times and the worst of times. Verse 6, Seth lived 105 years and begot Enosh. After he begot Enosh, Seth lived 807 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Seth were 912 years and he died. The name Seth means appointed. As I said earlier, Eve said, "For God had appointed me another seed instead of Abel whom Cain slew." It's at the age of 105, Seth became a dad. And he named his son Enosh, which means mortal, frail, or miserable. We see that Seth lived 912 years. And he had other sons and daughters that are not mentioned here. Enosh lived 90 years and begot Canaan. After he begot Canaan, Enosh lived 815 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enosh were 905 years and he died. It's interesting that the Hebrew name Canaan means sorrow. And Enosh lived 905 years. Verse 12, Canaan lived 70 years and begot Mahalalel. After he begot Mahalalel, Canaan lived 840 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Canaan were 910 years and he died. Mahalalel lived 65 years and begot Jared. After he begot Jared, Mahalalel lived 830 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years and he died. It's interesting that Jared in the Hebrew means jeweler. That's a joke, guys, okay? Just to see if you're alive. Verse 18, Jared lived 162 years and begot Enoch. After he begot Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Jared were 962 years and he died. The name Enoch means commencement or teaching. Enoch is the seventh descendant from Adam. Now, in the book of Jude, there's a prophecy that mentions Enoch. In Jude 14 and 15, this is what it says. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about this man also saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against them." And if you really examine that closely, what Enoch just mentioned the second coming of Christ, because 10,000 of his saints will come with Jesus Christ to execute judgment upon all of the ungodly on the earth to convince them of all their ungodliness and wicked deeds. And Jared lived 962 years. Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And Methuselah lived 187 years and begot Lamech. After he begot Lamech, Methuselah lived 782 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. Methuselah is the oldest man that ever lived, right? Enoch, we see here, takes an Uber to heaven. He was raptured. He was taken. Because of his great faith and walk with God. He walked with God for over 300 years. They were tight. They were like this. And the book of Hebrews tells us, by faith, Enoch was taken out so that he would not see death. And he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. Enoch pleased God. He walked with God. He was a friend of God. Can you imagine the conversations that they would have walking together? What a godly man that Enoch had. It wasn't just a casual stroll, but it was a deep conversations that they would have. And we should all aspire to walk so close with God so that he might choose to translate us as well. Enoch was translated midway between Adam and Abraham. Elijah was also translated midway between Abraham and Christ. And both men are a sign of the rapture. The name Methuselah comes from a word that tells us a prophetic signal. And we see that that's going to be it when Methuselah dies, that the flood begins in chapter 7. Methuselah became the father of Lamech, and Lamech means lamentation or despairing. He was the oldest man to live on the face of the earth. Lamech lived 182 years and had a son, and he called his name Noah, saying, "This one will comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord has cursed." And after he begot Noah, Lamech lived 595 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The name Noah is derived from Nakam, which means to bring relief or comfort. How appropriate, right? So then notice in chapter 5, one of the things that we forget is that the gospel mentioned. The word Adam means man. Seth, appointed, man appointed. Enosh, mortal, man appointed, mortal. Canaan, sorrow, man appointed, mortal, sorrow. Mahalalel, the blessed God, man appointed, mortal, sorrow, the blessed God. Jared shall come down. Adam, so man appointed, mortal, sorrow, the blessed God shall come down. Enoch means teaching. So man appointed, mortal, sorrow, the blessed God shall come down, teaching. Methuselah, his death shall bring. Man appointed, mortal, sorrow, the blessed God shall come down, teaching, his death shall bring. Lamech is the despairing, and Noah comfort, rest. So we read, man appointed, mortal, sorrow, the blessed God shall come down, teaching, his death shall bring, the despairing, comfort, rest. In other words, it points to Jesus Christ and the sacrifice on the cross, just in chapter 5. And we know that Noah didn't become the father of Shem, Ham, and Japheth until he was 500 years old. He became a daddy at 500 years old. Can you imagine? I thought I was old when I had my kids, you know? What a blessing that there was somebody older than me. So I guess you're not ever too late to have kids, right? Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much for allowing us to partake of your word tonight, chapter 4 and 5 here. Father, help us to be the type of people who people would look at us and they would say that we walk with God, that we walk with God all the days of our lives, that we became close with God, that we were friends of God, that we had deep, intimate relationship with God, our living God. And so, Father, I just thank you for all of the examples set before us here, good and bad. Help us to learn from them. And we thank you that you wrote them down on your word, and you didn't gloss over them, but you're telling us the truth. We thank you for your truth, for your word is truth. We lift up this evening to you, and I pray for all of the people gathered here tonight. May your hand of protection be upon them as they go home. We thank you, Father, for them. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.